Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good morning, Pastor Njangase. Good morning, good afternoon to you. Why am I saying good morning? Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, good afternoon. Yes, good morning. That's good for you.
Are you well?
I'm well in the cell.
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining us. Well, today we are concluding the conversation we've been having the week long, talking about contentment vis-a-vis comparison. And one of the most precious statements in Scripture is Paul's words found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. He says, I have learned the secret of being content in many or in any and every situation. It's hard to read this verse without some intrigue. Content? In every situation, truly? And he wrote this while he was unmarried, imprisoned, unjustly, of course, constantly persecuted, misrepresented, and relentlessly tempted to live in regret for his grievous past. Well, we rightly marvel at Paul's statements. Now, Pastor, what lessons about contentment do we learn from Paul's words?
All right. Good evening. Afternoon to you and to the listeners. Yeah, there are many lessons. Let me highlight only a few. Lesson one is that contentment is a learned skill. I am taking it from his Paul from his word. He says, "I have learned to be content." You know, that implies that it is a skill that Paul has developed over a given period of time. In different contexts and settings. Lesson one. Lesson number two, independent from circumstances. In other words, Paul's life was not dependent on the situation. It was free from the situation. No matter the situation, Paul would live his life in spite of the situation as it dictates, you know. And that means also Paul had a strong relationship with God. That is the key word today. And again, God's strength, you know, Paul depended on God's strength, not his own. That is another lesson we're learning. Maybe the last one, for the interest of time, flexibility and adaptability is key here. Paul's contentment allows him, you know, to thrive in various situations, whether in abundance or in lack. Those are the lessons in brief, yes.
Yeah, difficult, man, difficult. I mean, but normally we are comfortable in abundance, but when we get to lack, my goodness. Now, is a state of contentment really, I mean, you say that it's a developed a skill. It's a learned trait. But would you say it's learned for everyone? Aren't some people born with it?
I'm coming to that. Having said all the above, the flip side of the coin is that there are those people who are naturally content. Whether they are Christians or non-Christians, they are not worried. They are just relaxed, even if they are singing, they're singing happy. You see, there are those people, you know, they're not frightened by the situation. You and I, we can be frightened and freak out, but they're just content. I know many people who are like that. So I think it is both a learned skill. Also, for some, it is a natural gift from above, I would say so.
And some may actually suggest that, you know, people who are just content naturally, who are carefree, are people who really are not serious about life. They don't take life seriously, and they're comfortable with failure. Would you say that's the case?
That's the case, yes. They are carefree. They take one day at a time.
Is it a bad thing or a good thing?
It is a good thing. Yeah, I think it is a good thing. It's a gift, it's a natural gift, which I wish I can have it in my situations because sometimes I panic.
You know, we've had many married women, and but this we read in social medias, etc. That but when a husband is just too relaxed, nonchalant, it drives them up the wall. But because they need to stand up and do something and show that the situation is dire, the situation is serious, and they're almost bashed on every corner for being carefree. Do you think it's a fair approach towards them?
Well, I don't know to what extent these people are carefree, because if you are too free, that might cause the next person, you know, to worry. But being carefree responsibly, meaning that if you have to stand up and do something, you also stand up, you know. It's just that you might be a slow doer. You're like a tortoise, a snail, but you're getting to a destination.
Man. Now, why would you say, Pastor, that we should learn to be content with a little? I mean, why doesn't God just give us more of what we want? I mean, would that not be good PR for Christianity?
Yeah, it should be good indeed. Well, I've noted some few points. One is freedom from anxiety. You know, when we worry because we have little, unfortunately, we are inviting stress and anxiety over things we cannot change some of the times. Psychologists are telling us that we must accept the things we cannot change. Like, for instance, we have no control over other people's thinking and actions. We can only control ourselves. We have control over ourselves. That is one thing. In other words, we are free from anxiety and stress when we are content with a little. Number two, we must appreciate what we have. Because I don't think we have nothing altogether. There is something that we have. Yeah, so that little that we have, little is much when God is in it.
When God is in it,
Yes, yeah. So if we focus on what we already have, that will foster gratitude and appreciation. So we appreciate the fact that at least I'm alive, at least I am able to go to work. I'm not earning much, but I'm employed, I'm self-employed. I'm getting something. I'm not sleeping on an empty stomach. I may not drive cars that are big like my neighbor, but I am also putting food on the table. That is the contentment. Even though it's little, you see that one. So as to why God is not giving us everything, God is God. He knows. God may surprise us before we die. Up to now, we don't know what God has for us in store.
Wouldn't that...
Because God can... Okay. I was saying God can change situations.
True.
It is all dependent. Yes, okay.
Now I want to check that with what you've just said, wouldn't other people, you know, interpret that as lack of ambition?
Well, not necessarily, but the core issue here is simplicity of life.
We
allow to live a simple life rather than to cluster, you know, that's what we're doing. And also this contentment with little enables us to grow spiritually, know, because complaining and making noise sometimes is childish. You know, we must man up and be able to say, this is what the Lord has given me. I am happy with it. I am not complaining. Ambition might be there, but it must be also be controlled by the will of God, to say, if God so will, He will change my situation, but for now, I'm content.
Now, Paul says in Philippians 4:12, and I think we opened with this verse, he says, I have learned the secret of being content in every situation. Now, what is the core here of Paul's contentment?
Well, the secret of Paul's contentment is, without any doubt, thanksgiving. Paul was able to give thanks to Lord, to the Lord, in whatever situation. In other words, Paul had learned to thank God, because the situation that was coming befalling him, God would have, you know, not allowed it, but God has allowed it. Therefore, God be praised, because He has permitted it anyway. In other words, God, trust me that I'm not going to fall. even if I'm suffering A, B, C, and D. That's one. Also, I think Paul was focusing more on God than on the circumstances. That was the core of his contentment. So it means that Paul had cultivated a culture of gratitude, a practice of gratitude, which is not a common to most of us, but we need to cultivate that culture anyway.
Yep.
So in so doing, regardless of the circumstances, we're saying the Lord in his own time will provide.
Yeah, I think that is true. Very difficult to practice, but I think it is definitely possible to do. Now, Pastor, we've spoken to you, since the beginning of this week, and we are coming to the conclusion of this very thought, the contentment vis-a-vis comparison. What are your final thoughts and conclusion on this topic?
Yeah, my final thoughts would be, may the good Lord help us that we may cope with every situation. As I said, we must not try and knock at the door until we bend our until we break our fingers. If the door is not opening, let's look for another door.
Yeah.
That is one thing. And also, you need to pray for strength. You remember Paul said, "When I'm weak, is when I'm strong." Let's pray for strength when we are weak, because our strength is nothing, but our strength is dependent on God's strength.
Yeah.
And also, I'll conclude by saying, by applying all the learned lessons which I've mentioned about, we can cultivate contentment in our own lives, regardless of our circumstances. That's my conclusion, yes.
Beautiful, man. Beautiful. It's a fantastic point to end it at. Pastor, I must thank you so much for the week. Grateful for the time that you've given us. And of course, may the Lord bless you as you are approaching the Sabbath hours. Blessings to you. Thank you so much.
Amen. Happy Sabbath to you in advance.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.